Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
You're listening to 89.3 FM, WHFR Dearborn.
This is Travis Whitelaw, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Yeehaw!
The healthcare industry will continue to be one of the largest employers of college graduates. More jobs are expected to be with nursing than any other occupation. Are you ready to make a difference in the world? Are you looking for an education and career that has advancement? Right now, there is a high demand for nurses, both male and female. Breaking into the nursing career means getting an education. Henry Ford College offers an associate's degree in the nursing program. All graduates can acquire full-time employment upon passing the licensing examination for registered nurses. For more information, please call 313-845-6300. Once again, that's 313-845-6300. Or look us up on the web at hfcc.edu. Henry Ford College, the right education right now.
Hey, this is Nigel in The Dropout.
WHFR, Dearborn. 30 years.
Just getting started.
Have you ever considered working in public radio? Be a DJ, have your own radio show, and play the genre that interests you most. Or host a local talk show. Qualified volunteers can get started right here at WHFR 89.3 at Henry Ford College and help us with all aspects of station operation. Sign up for the class, WHFR staff training, and learn the basics of the business from
Good afternoon and welcome to Foodies on the Fifth. This is Lynn, your host, and you're listening to Foodies on the Fifth on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. And this is exciting. It might be 90 degrees out there, but you know what? We're going to be talking about ice today, and I can't wait. So this is going to be great. This is the Henry Ford College Ice Club, Ice Carving Club that we're talking to today. And I think you're going to find it as interesting as I did. We had a little pre-chat before we got on air, and it's all good. Welcome to this edition of Foodies on the Fifth. And I will remind you that the views and opinions of Foodies on the Fifth are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. Welcome, welcome. Can everybody hear me? Okay. My headphones are acting up, but that's okay. We'll get through this. Please introduce yourself. Robert, you want to start?
Just not as president anymore. No, with me.
I'm Jamie Slays. I'm interning for Chef Jeff Blau this semester and through the winter. I'm looking forward to working with the club this semester once again. Going to be fourth year carving this year and looking forward to it very much.
Fantastic. Okay, so we have some great experience right here in the studio. Very impressive. There's so much that I want to talk about. Can we start at the very beginning and go back to the origins of the Henry Ford Ice Carving Club?
Sure.
Okay. Enlighten us.
Okay. Ice Carving Club was actually founded by Richard Tebow, which is he's no longer here. He's retired now. He started the Ice Carving Club in 1989, and back then it was called the Snow and Ice Carving Club. They used to ice carve and snow carve, but snow carving kind of went out. Ice carving kind of took over from there, and he was a great chef who went to Japan and ice carved. He can tell you all types of stories like that. Ice carving for him was natural, like breathing. You know, he tell you what to do, you do it, and that was it. It was beautiful.
Wow. That's, just to divert a little bit, that's huge in Japan.
Yes, it is.
Any thoughts on I never thought to put the two together until I was reading up a little bit on ice carving history.
Well, actually, Japan, they started it off a while ago doing it, and there's an ice carver named Junichi. He's from there, and he's like one of the great carvers. It's like just to actually meet him would be nice one day. Just his work is beautiful.
And he does Alaska, correct?
Yeah, he does Alaska too. So if you ever get a chance, you look at Alaska ice sculptures.
Mm-hmm. One of the top in the world.
Yeah, one of the top. He won like so many different medals from just being out there. And those blocks are not your average block. That block is almost as big as a house.
Okay. So an average block, as I understand it, is 300 pounds.
Yes.
Okay, so how big was that one to compare, if you can?
Big as that block was, it takes machines to really move it around.
Right, right.
If you ever get a chance, you guys can just look it up online, just see how big that block is. It literally takes a machine to move it around. You cannot just move it around by yourself. There's the chainsaws that we use for the ice here is you have to get a very longer bar, stronger chain. It's fun, actually.
Okay.
To put into perspective on size there, we watched a video in the intro to ice carving class last night, one of the Alaska competitions that the chef participated in. Chef Lau told us they're close to 1,000 pounds.
Okay. So over three times, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's in Alaska, they harvest Alaskan ice, which is utmost purity.
Okay.
And the blocks you make here are very pure too, with our Michigan lakes that we have available here.
Okay. Is there anything done to purify, or do we take what nature gives us?
Actually, we use we have a purified tank in the back with a freezer. We have our water runs through it to purify the water,
because
we have to use food grade water for ice sculptures, that's for the buffet lines or just whatever case may be. Then from there, we have climb bell machines, where we actually have a pump that runs 24/7 over the ice to push all the impurities out, the chlorine, the salt, right, all the extra stuff that doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
The fluoride.
Yeah.
Those immersion circulators allow us to get that clear ice that you wouldn't get out of a can block with feathering in it.
Right.
So our pieces will pop when we hit it with the torch.
Wow. And there's, do you do anything to take out? There's always a certain amount of air in water, too. Do you take out the air? Or
No.
No. Okay. No. Through the purification process, it's just not there?
Yeah, it's just not there.
It's circulated. It takes several days for each block to freeze.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, with the weather right now, 7 days. Hopefully by October, we can get down a little bit colder. We knock the days down to 5 or less. The colder it is outside, the less time it takes us to make it. So,
of course. Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we got down to a day and a half to make ice.
Okay. So. All right. Now you're talking about the 300-pound block.
Yeah, 300-pound blocks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a day and a half to make those.
Wow. And that's done in-house?
Yeah, it's done in-house.
Wow.
By the club members.
Yeah. And all the club members.
And supervision by Chef Lau.
Yeah, we all come up here once a week, or depending on how the pools go, harvest ice, pull them all out, put them in our freezer, and keep it there.
Wow. Okay.
And the freezer is held at the perfect temperature to carve. For example, we did with Angelina Adkins, I did an advisory board meeting functional bar that we presented, and we carved it right in our cooler here, and we built it in our dining room.
I guess I didn't think about it that way. You're actually in the freezer doing the carving.
Yes.
Okay.
During summertime like this, when it's hot outside,
yes,
when we gotta do something for a buffet or whatever case may be, we work right there in the freezer, because we have to worry about the sun, the temperature, and all that stuff like that. But in the wintertime, you're outside. This way, you don't have to clean the freezer up.
That too.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of it being when it's wintertime. Go outside, get it done, put it in the freezer, you're done for the night. No sweeping the floor. Make sure you got all the snow off the floor. No ice chunks, you know. When you're outside, just shove it all over.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Go home for the day.
It's a great thing about the club, too, because when you get a good team and good partners, you can think out of the box and the creativity comes together.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So how exactly does one move a 300-pound block of ice?
Well, we do use dollies.
Okay.
We grab a dolly. We're a two-man team dolly.
We help
each other put it on. Someone while pushing the other ones on the side to make sure it stays on there, doesn't move over, because we have a couple times where moving ice, it is ice, it slides and try to fall over. So, you know, we do that. Then we also, we have these things called ice tongs.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, it's like scissors almost, they're, but they open up wider.
Clamps.
Yeah. So, in the two-man team, you can move that easily by yourself with the proper leverage.
That was before my time, actually. However, if you watch old silent movies, you'll a lot of times see ice scenes, and those tongs probably haven't changed in 100 years.
No, they haven't.
Classics.
They change a little bit in style, but neither that. They're pretty much all the same.
Right. Okay. How do you move the finished product? We're talking about moving. So I can see, okay, so you have your dollies, you have your ice, but you want, this is now a finished product. The surfaces are perfect. And first of all, you don't want to drop it. And second of all, you don't want to scratch it.
Well, Rob, that would probably depend on the venue, event situation.
Yeah, it all depends on what it is. It's like, let's say you're doing a buffet piece for the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
After you're done carving it, our dollies, we put foam around our dollies.
Okay.
So it won't scratch the ice.
Okay.
Or won't freeze to it, stick to it. So all our dollies have foam protected that we tape on there. So it's just as simple as pulling it back, slide on the dolly, be gentle, go in the freezer, put it in the freezer, and you leave it there. As far as moving sculptures like foam, let's say if you got to do an event somewhere far away, we do the same thing. We put it in our freezer. We let it sit for a day, freeze up, make sure it's nice and hard. We wrap it up. We protect it the best way we can. We use plastic, moving blankets.
A lot of insulation. Yeah. Balancing the back struck is crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to make sure you're stable. Everything is set in place before placing a plate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Get it all wrapped up. We bungee strap it. Ratchet strap it to the cart, load it to your cart. Two-man team, again, we do everything with a two-man team, always try to. Two-man lift, load into your vehicle, and there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful with any sort of sticky-outy parts, arms or whatever that might be.
That right there can be a problem sometimes. And sometimes if you can, it's best for us to put it like, we'll actually cut an arm off, wait till we get there, then put it back on.
Okay.
We know how to fuse it back on, so we'll put it back on there just so we won't have any problems with it falling off in a ride or hit a wrong pothole or a hard stop and it falls off and it breaks wrong and you're looking like, oh my God, I can't fix it now.
Yeah.
So
it's all about the temperature control.
Yeah.
Fusion is just applying heat. There's many different ways that we know how to do it.
Okay.
And these guys can execute a lot of different methods to make sure that it comes out the best quality.
Okay. Okay. We kind of got ahead of ourselves, but that's okay. Let's keep going this way, and we'll catch up with some of the other things later. Okay, so I'm talking about finishing touches, polish, that kind of thing. So color, do you deal with color at all? I know the colored lights you can shine into a piece of ice.
If we know enough, we actually can make a color block.
Okay.
Color block, it takes a little bit longer to make, but it is possible to do. We used to do for a Wyandotte, we used to do a Jimmy John car, color red. So,
okay.
Yeah, so, and do enough time, we can change a block color. Then it's also certain people like lettering, like if you get married, you want to put the Mr. and Mrs. in there. We can also use sand or gelatin to color it like that. We actually did for Mustang Club, we actually put the Mustang stripe colors in the red, the white, and the blue. We actually put the gelatin in there to fuse it we put it behind the horse.
Okay.
So it looked real nice towards the end. But color is possible, but when you do color, it takes a little bit more time.
Sure. And you're saying gelatin?
Gelatin, yes.
Okay. Chef Law is nice enough to show some of us the gel fill method, and it's a good advanced technique to get custom colors and toned right for logo pieces and customized. For
that. Now, is that through the entire piece, or is it like a layer?
It's like a layer. Depends on where you want it at. It's more like a layer. Let's say if you want it in your name, we'll carve the name out.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll put the gelatin inside where the name is.
Okay, kind of from the back?
From the back side, yeah.
Wow, okay.
As opposed to a traditional sand fill, which commercial coloring is limited.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, the gelatin method is just your regular household Jell-O.
Okay.
Add color to it, then that's it. Mix it, like I say, it's a longer process to do. The sand method is a lot easier for us to do, but a gelatin, it does look better.
And you can tone with food dye and milk also if you choose.
Oh, mm-hmm. Tell me about the milk.
It just helps if the coloring isn't quite right. The milk just sets that coloring, it helps to bring the pigment of the dye instead of just having a clear liquid.
Okay, so it's making it a little more opaque.
Yeah.
Then, okay, which would make some sense.
Less
okay.
Layering, it stops it from darkening if you have to do several layers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I could see how that would be a problem too. Okay. Well, all that said, tell me your most challenging piece.
Jamie, I'll let you go and go first.
I would say Plymouth 2013.
What was that, King Kong?
No. Was it 2014 when we did the boat with the Kraken?
Oh, that one. Okay. I can't remember
you
that
you had your
one.
GoPro, and we did the stack of six blocks, and it was really cold. The sparks were flying, and I had to sit on top of the stacks in order for you guys to fuse that last couple of blocks. But I had assistance and a ladder, and I'm totally comfortable with these guys, and we pulled it off.
Yeah,
and it was a fun event.
And what was it again? What was the sculpture?
That was a Kraken we did with a ship, with a giant octopus coming out the wall, like coming out the... The way we set it up, it came out the ground, kind of, yeah. The way
okay.
We had it moving.
Okay.
So it was like going through the ship, tearing apart, stuff like that.
The octopus is doing all this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That was a 24-block piece, was it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
For me, there's a couple of them. I remember my first year joining Ice Carving Club for Plymouth. We decided to do a castle.
Okay.
Large castle right there in Kellogg Park. Scaffolding maybe 20 feet in the air with chainsaws, chisels up in the air. So, you know, that we done that. We also did a King Kong one.
Okay.
Again, 20 feet in the air again.
Okay.
Sometimes can be kind of scary and fun at the same time. So, scaffolding, forklifts high as they can go. So, we always have fun doing yeah. that as a team. For me, my most challenging piece I ever done, me and my business partner Steve McCormick, we had to do we did Starship Troopers, the bug off that movie.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know about that, but that was a challenging piece for us to do. We spent first time doing maybe 8 hours trying to figure this thing out, how to do
okay.
eight hours strong,
just in the prep,
just in
the
prep,
thinking
just trying yeah. to figure it yeah. out, carving it. Probably took another 9 hours because we get frustrated with it. But it all came together because we ended up doing it for Plymouth, and it's a team piece, and you get 4 hours to do it. And we actually got it done, and we got it done enough time where we still had time to spare. So
wow.
it was beautiful. It was kind of sitting back watching everybody else kind of still freak out. Oh my God, we're not finished. But we sit there like, hey, we're done already.
The two of those men make a strong team. I love watching them work, and I've learned a lot of ideas just from seeing them carve. They really have a wide range of skills. It's
wow.
great to work with those guys.
Wow. Now, are all of the pieces that you described, were those all competitive pieces?
No, the ones in Plymouth was just the ones talking about Plymouth was just a park, which is a park pieces, just for people to walk around and look
okay.
at.
Okay, this is Ice Fest?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. Plymouth Ice Fest, those mm-hmm. are down there. The bug I was talking about, that was actually a team piece we did together. Me and Steve actually took second place in that.
That was a good one
yeah.
too, Rob.
Yeah, we did that for Plymouth, we took second. And Frankenmuth is like the real big ice cream show where everyone's come out from different states and carved from feet. That we took home a bronze medal off that, so it was real nice to do it.
Very nice, mm-hmm. very nice. I think there were places where either in things that I said or on the internet or what have you that this is an award-winning club. I mean, you guys have a lot to be proud of.
Yes,
a lot to be proud of. So, okay, so we talked about color. What about lighting? Light means heat.
It does mean a little heat.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the ice sculptures get set up towards that day, it's not that much heat because we actually, we put the light up under the ice and there's mm-hmm. a pan up under it. So there's a plastic layer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the light bulb plus the plastic layer, it's not too much heat.
So you're insulating it.
Yeah,
we use
a lot of LED lights that's low heat now.
Right,
so
yeah, yeah.
The lighting is not a problem for us anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're always advancing when it comes to LED lighting, too, and mm-hmm. how presentations can come out with the LEDs. It's mm-hmm. a cool technology to have.
Let's talk about tools. I think in passing, you talked about the chainsaws, and that was when I first found out years ago that chainsaws were involved with ice. I thought, wow, that's really cool, and I'll never get anywhere near it. I don't know. I could see losing a limb. So we have chainsaws, and the other thing I know about irons. So
Well, ice carving, we use a lot of different things.
I know. Could you give us a little bit of a list and tell us how?
Sure. We use chainsaws. We use die grinders. Chainsaw, die grinders. We also use knives, ice picks, chisels.
Mm-hmm.
We actually use squirt bottles. We have used turkey basters
for heat. It's fusion with our hands to apply our template.
Sure.
It's the hard concept of ice carving is to take a 2D image and get the skill to create a 3D image and where to put that negative space.
Right.
And our tools, you'd be surprised to find, actually the hand tools are more costly than a lot of the power tools, which a lot of people wouldn't expect. And that kind of brings it to the nostalgia, going all the way back to Michigan lake ice, because some people have 1909 lake ice chisels that are perfect condition, because if you maintain these tools like we try our best to every day, they can be passed down for generations and families can be brought in. It's a great community thing to be a part of.
Yeah, wow. Proper care of tools is one of the things we do pride ourselves on, because some of our tools I seen back in there, they're still back from 1990, some tools in there I seen. We actually have some of the older Makita die grinders, which they don't even make anymore. We still have some of those running functions still going on.
And they run very well.
Yeah. So it's like we use everything besides the kitchen sink, we can use ice carving.
Okay.
Yeah.
If irons, aluminum. We find a way.
blow torches, whatever you think of, we can pretty much use it in ice some type of way.
Okay.
Then it comes down to, with the die grinders, we have different bits. We have end mills. We have a comb burr, shaper burr, V-bit, rotary knife, zip bits. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, it comes to a point that you wish you can own all the tools you can.
Right,
you
can, right.
But you have to learn which ones are the key tools that you can use, that you can do everything with.
So. Yeah. And when you talk about some of the power tools and even things like some of the drills and, you know, what have you, you're talking about both something that I guess you'd call an industrial grade, and you're also talking about home grade, I think.
Yeah, we can use a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We use a lot of most of our die grinders are Makitas, industrial grade Makitas, the same ones you see on construction sites inside of Home Depot.
Right, right.
We use a lot of those. Some of them do get specially made for us. We have to get them custom a little bit with special shafts to hold certain things onto them.
Okay.
So, you know, that's that. And we can also use home drills at home sometimes to do certain things with.
What about small, like Dremel, you know, that kind of thing too?
Yeah. Multi-tools, rotary tools.
The little guys.
We use some of those. We use a dumb drills actually to custom our chains to our saws, because we don't use a regular chain on them. We actually take a few things down that you're not supposed to for safety reasons, but it cut through the ice a little bit faster and make it a little bit better for you.
Okay. All right. I won't say anything. Okay. So now we know, you know, basically how to cut, how to shape. Tell me about the most intricate thing you've ever done. And then I have a follow-up to that.
Rob can definitely give you 150,000 examples, probably.
Most interesting thing I ever did, I think it would probably be doing my Angry Bird piece. We actually did a piece of the Angry Birds, the game.
Okay.
That was very interesting. We had to take we had 3 blocks of ice. We had to break them all the way down to, and we had to get the right measurements to write 3/4 by this much, this, to build. Like, if you've ever seen an Angry Bird game, it's built like stuff falling over, bricks, stuff like that. So,
so you did like the game setup, or
so
this is more than just Angry Bird.
Yeah.
We have a lot more going on here. Yeah. Okay,
I've seen him do a ton of really cool geometric shapes, abstract pieces throughout the years.
Wow,
really interesting stuff.
Okay, and then the follow up to that, and this isn't supposed to be a mean spirited question, just you know, horrors of the industry. Okay, so you get this wonderful piece done, and you see where I'm going, and something really bad happens, like it drops or it bumps, you hit the pothole in the road with the thing in the vehicle or something like that. Anything you care to share?
Actually, here my second year ice carving. I trained all summer, came up with a good piece. It was my first time showing this piece off. The weather was not the coldest for me to try it, but I tried anyways. I got it all the way standing up, almost done, about 20 minutes left of the competition. I walked away, and as I was walking back towards it, I just seen it kind of fall apart. And I was able to save a few pieces on it because I just grabbed what I could to save. But the rest of it, it just kind of crashed down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
that is one of the things that you would hate to see during competition. I've seen it happen to a lot of us happen to us. It actually just happened last year to other two members of our club, Mark and Steve, during a Frankenmuth competition. Last maybe 45 minutes. You look up, that piece just snapped and fell over.
Oh.
So it was nothing they can redo to fix it.
Ouch.
Yeah,
always a shame, but the community always kind of gives you a little support.
Right.
On the back,
yeah. Right.
Try again.
Yeah, so.
What was the piece that kind of shattered? Your second year.
My second year piece, it was called Seymour.
Okay.
I did a plant creature off from the movie.
Okay.
Phoebe Seymour. I kind of did something like off that.
Right.
Abstract
right.
in my own little way. And I had it like standing on three legs, stacked up probably about 5 feet. So
I saw pictures of that.
And the weather was probably sitting there probably 50 degrees.
Oh, bad for the ice.
A little lower than that.
Yeah.
I had everything set up just right. I was doing everything I was supposed to do, but it just take that one thing, not the whole for you, and it just comes down.
What about the pedestals or the bases for these pieces? There's some math involved in that.
Yeah, there is math involved in that. It depends on what type of piece you're doing. For, let's say if you're doing an outside piece, you know, you can build your own pedestal out of scrap ice. You can use that to make it stand up, give it a little more height. People can see it.
Okay.
But for your standard buffet pieces that's going inside, you want to make sure you got you a steady table that can at least hold, by the time you get your carving it, it should at least hold 250.
Okay.
So make sure your tables are steady, the legs are locked down right, because that's the last thing you want to see is you get a piece in the air and the table break down on you.
Yeah.
So I tell a lot of people, if I bring your ice sculpture, like, make sure you got a stable, sturdy table. When we get there, we always find the biggest guy. Here, sit on the table for us for a second to make sure it's strong enough.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And regardless, in terms of geometry of what you're carving, you absolutely have to make sure that your base is stable and balanced, and you have to have support if you need it.
Yeah. And the piece itself, I guess heart comes to mind, which is really top heavy, and then your point on the bottom goes down to virtually nothing, depending on how you do the carving. So as that melts, although the good news is the top's probably going to melt first at some level, but as that melts and that little point on the bottom gets weaker, you have topple risk.
Well, we learn how to carve to make sure it's safe first.
Okay.
First thing we do is make sure it's safe.
Absolutely.
So we're probably carve more at the top than we would at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So you still get the same effect,
mm-hmm.
but we also do some little details at the bottom to make it sturdy.
Yes.
So when you see it, you're like, oh, it's the heart, and it's just the way you want it, but you'll see it at the bottom of it, it may be bubbles around it or whatever we could think of. Something.
Oh, I got it.
So the bottom of it is still there to support it. You got the effect. You just details the bottom to make it look very nice so it just don't look like a block of ice at the bottom. So you put a little detail at the bottom to make it look pretty.
Okay.
And at the same way, you have a stability for it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And that's the last thing you want to do is put up an ice sculpture at a party. And some little kid walk by and touching the falls on them. The next thing you know, you have a lawsuit coming.
Well, that too. I was more concerned with the piece, but
no.
We never want a piece to fall.
Oh no.
We would always take that into consideration.
Exactly.
If it was a 20-pound hunk of ice. We would design it in order to make sure it would function right throughout the day.
Okay.
Or however long it may last.
Yeah.
You never know.
That's when you go to a restaurant, you know, still obviously it's a new piece every day. So let's say dinner starts at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
How long do we expect the piece to last? I know that in general, you know, you have different shapes and forms and what have you, but
average sculpture will last 3 to 4 hours at a party.
Okay.
On average, you know, depending on our room temperature, really.
Of course.
I think I've done parties before where I didn't go to the ice sculpture up at 10 o'clock at night, came back the next day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, And the sculpture is pretty much still sitting there. Wow. I mean, it's about gone, but it's just enough of it still sitting in those, ice in the pan.
And you can tell what it was.
You know, you can't tell what it was.
But oh, okay. It's
it's pretty much gone, but you just see a chunk of ice just sitting there, kind of floating water.
Which is still kind of amazing when you think about having a piece of ice inside a house or a room.
For
something
like that, you just, as you're setting up, continue before bringing the piece in. You just have to let the person know, if I'm by a door, this piece may not last as long. If you would like it here, it'll look great.
Mm-hmm.
But we could move it this way a little bit, mm-hmm. and it might get another hour or two.
We'll okay.
see. Yeah, I always tell them, make sure people, especially during the wintertime, I say, do not put me by a heat vent. If I'm putting you ice cup, do nowhere near the heat vent as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at some point people just don't think. You know, it's like, oh, it looks pretty here. So
yeah,
let's,
yeah. Well, I have seen people where they, we want it right here, and then look at it. That's not what we wanted. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. It's up there. There's nothing I can do about it now. It's up there. Once it's up, we don't move it.
So are these party pieces also started out with a 300-pound block?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every piece we start off with is a 300-pound block.
Okay. And what's the dimension on that, just approximately?
20 by 40.
20 by 40. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. That's a whole lot of ice.
Yeah. It's a lot of ice to work with. It gives you... Get your time, in case you make a mistake, you got time to fix it. Then if you don't make a mistake, you will learn to cut more off, because when it's time to lift it, you'll go, oh my God, this thing is heavy.
That's right, and the bigger pieces you can always utilize in another way, and
okay.
that's what we do.
Okay, all right. We talked about the not so good. Tell me about one that was absolutely perfect. Everything was spot on, the carving was perfect, people loved it, and nothing bad happened. No arms broke off or anything.
For me, that would be my first year ice carving.
Okay.
We did the Angry Bird piece again. We did it up in Plymouth. Perfect weather, nice and cold. Everything was going out perfectly. The piece just went up amazing, perfectly. We actually won a silver medal. No, what's up, silver? No, it was a bronze medal. It was like 1 point away from silver.
Okay.
So it was beautiful. It was a beautiful piece. It went up beautiful. The kids knew what it was. Adults knew what it was. It was just sitting there. It was a beautiful piece to a beautiful day.
Fantastic. Yeah,
we actually beat our veterans that was carving before us. So that made it even a little better. So
even sweeter.
Yeah.
Right.
So
for me, I loved carving at the zoo with Chef Lau, and it was really great to see all the kids have so much fun out there. Mm-hmm. That was my second season, and he had me do a lot of seals that year. Hopefully this year I can work on my geometric shapes and get a nice ball on the nose for these days. That would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
It was always great to participate with that and see the kids checking out all the frozen sculptures and taking pictures with the families. That was always a blast.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. And, okay, now it's time to go back a little bit. Robert, how long have you been involved with ICE?
Almost 5 years now.
Okay.
I've been doing ICE for about almost 5 years. My boss, he introduced me to ice carving a couple years ago.
Okay.
Then I came here to study and learn it, and I just haven't left yet.
Are you part of culinary?
Yes, I'm part of culinary.
Okay.
Most all ice carvers who are carving are mostly part of culinary in some type of formal way.
Mm-hmm.
I only met so far one person who was in the culinary who was into ice carving.
Okay.
He was actually a computer game designer.
Okay. Yeah, but there's creativity there.
Yeah, it's creativity. Right. He was just the only one who came out the box and joined us. So
different kind.
Yeah. He had fun with it, so.
He can help you with that Angry Bird thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Jamie, how about you?
I have 10 years of formal culinary education. I've been at Henry Ford for 4, and I'm really happy that this is our first week back on campus. And this will be my 4th season I'm going into.
Oh, wow.
Looking to work with these guys, intern for Chef Lau, and get some new skills this year. It's going to be great.
And what do you hope to do with this?
I'm thinking after getting my degrees, I have a sole proprietorship right now and filed in hospitality sector, so maybe incorporate eventually, do a little bit of ice carving, but I really enjoy being a part of the community and my educators and being around my peers the most. Yeah. I think after this, I would love to be a chef, as I have been for years, and just maybe continue on and get another degree in education down the road.
We'll
see how it goes.
Wonderful.
With the instability of the culinary industry and the consistency in jobs lacking, It's rough for us, but I love it, and it's something that I'll never stop doing. So yeah. Maybe I'll be an educator in the season and chef out of season. Mm-hmm.
It's hard work. It's very hard. Physically, it's hard work.
Yeah, it is.
Kitchens are hard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you get the right blend of something or other, whether it's the entire meal or the perfect ice piece or whatever it is, and it's just so gratifying.
Yes, it is. It's very gratifying.
Awesome.
It's great to see people enjoy your work. If it melts, breaks, regardless. If people are having fun, they're out in their community, they're with their families, trying food, having
mm-hmm.
fun.
Mm-hmm.
We all have fun with it, and it's great.
Right. We've been talking a little bit about the Plymouth Ice Fest, and I've been out there a number of times, and it is, it's one of those things where as people are walking through, it's like they're looking at cats and dogs because they look and they're grinning. People are always grinning. You get to sit on an ice throne.
Right.
You know, I mean, crazy stuff. I mean,
our class gets to make one. It's fun.
Okay. And then one of my favorite pieces, and you're going to have to explain to me this one, is called Fire and Ice.
The Fire and Ice Tower is mm-hmm. very fun to do. But basically, we just take not the standard block. We use canned ice during the Plymouth Ice Fest, which are a little bit bigger and a little bit thicker.
Okay.
So we actually have something called lumber mill. Lumber mill is basically a 14-inch chainsaw.
Okay.
So very longer than normally we use. It's 16.
Oh my gosh. How heavy is that?
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah, but see, you're a big guy, so you're going to tell me it's not that bad.
I mean, it's really not that bad.
You are?
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
I used it.
I mean, once you just kind of get the weight of you get used to using stuff.
Sure.
It's not as heavy as it used to be. The way our setup is set up for a one man system. Well, not man, just one person system. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. anybody who knows what they're doing can pick it up and use it to make it work. Basically, you just take one block of ice and you cut it down to certain quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Then to each quarter, you just take it and you stack them on top of each other, like Jenga, so on that order.
Right.
Stack it up that high, but you also have to make sure you have certain air pocket vents in there for the fire can breathe.
Right.
Because if it doesn't, I've seen it before, it kind of doesn't work out too well.
Yeah. The water wins.
Yeah. So then after that, once you get it stacked up to like Jenga style, nice mm-hmm. and high, you take it, you design it, you go from the outside, you design it however you like to design it. I seen one guy did bubbles around it with put lines in it. You can do however you like to do it.
Wow, okay.
Then once you got that set up, build up, you take all... When the plywood, we get plywood coming with the ice to hold the ice on
okay.
the outside.
Okay.
Just take one of those, you grab your saw, cut it all down, break it all down, put it in there, a little gasoline, and there you go. Yeah, like I said, it's important you get the vent hose just right.
Yes.
So it can breathe.
Yeah.
Because most people think once you put the ice in there, it'll just melt so fast, but it won't. It takes its time to melt down. Then
mm-hmm.
the kind of fun part is kind of see it all fall down toward the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So. Well, and heat rises, obviously, so that's a plus, too. But, wow. It is truly a sight because it's... How tall are they? They're probably 20 feet, maybe 15, 20 feet.
Yeah, 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
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 You can make the one to any height you would like to, but, you know, on the average, they're about 20 feet tall, like you said. And Plymouth have three of them out there.
Okay.
I want to say it's either two or three.
I remember two, but there could be another.
Yeah. I know they do. Yeah, you're right. It's two because they do one on Friday night and one on Saturday night.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, they actually called a guy in from Ohio named Aaron Coxick.
Mm-hmm.
He's a well famous ice carver.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he comes all the way from Ohio. He does that for Plymouth Ice Fest every year.
Oh.
So he does that. He also made the ice throne to sit on.
Yes.
He makes that for him too. So he do a few things out there every year.
Okay.
So the rest is mostly, there's another ice carving company out there in Plymouth. I can't think of their names right now, but mm-hmm. they do a lot of work. Then after that, we do a lot of work outside there. So it's all a group effort of ice carvers. That's how you end up with so many sculptures out there. So,
and Rob, can I ask, our beginning students, when we do our ice chair at the end of the semester, how many blocks is that? And how would you compare it to the one in Plymouth?
The one in Plymouth, it's a little bit more neater because, you know, you got a professional doing it. So he does things looking like, wow, I never really thought about doing that. The beginning one is was it 8 blocks, I believe? It's an 8 block chair.
Okay.
You get us to do and work on. It's not too bad, you know. You know,
that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot, you know. Well, like I say, it's all part of the proper lifting techniques and using the proper tools and teamwork that can get done. Then they actually stack it all together. We use a lot of handsaw. So, like I said, you get that upper body strength. If you don't have it, you keep coming with us all events and stuff like that, you'll get the upper body strength. So once you get it all stacked together, from there, it's about just detailing it.
Yeah. One of the first things that they tell us coming into Henry Ford College is together everyone achieves more in this program, and we follow that through to our ice carving program,
right,
100%.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if somebody wants to be a superstar, that's not the field.
No.
A show-off superstar.
Right. Yeah. So we all make sure we're safe out there. Safety comes first. Like I said, that's our main priority. Then the next priority is having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely safety with the chainsaws and even some of the smaller tools.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, those are incredibly sharp, razor sharp, because they're very well maintained.
Exactly, yeah. And not to mention dangerous.
Yeah.
Or they could be.
Even cleaning, because after our competitions, we don't want a single drop on those tools, and we don't allow one. So we've never had a problem.
Right. Yeah, some of those tools we have are easily $800 to $1,000 or more.
Sure.
So
we're really lucky to be able to use those. Yeah. So we can learn here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So do you oil them when you're done?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
After you're done with a competition, cleanup is the hardest thing to do.
Well, you're tired.
Yeah, you're tired. Now you got to clean all your tools up. But, you know, proper tool maintenance is one of the things, we stride on, because we're blessed to get this equipment here for this.
Very.
You know, some people don't even have this equipment for their schools. Mm-hmm. They have to use some older stuff. So we make sure after every event, you got you a clean towel somewhere, you wipe all the tools down, oil them back up, put back the sleeves on them, and put it back in the proper place.
Mm. Wow. So. Okay. Let me just take a little break here and remind the audience that this is Foodies on the 5th, and we are here the 5th Tuesday of the month. There are 4 of them per year. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, but they're not necessarily equally spaced.
Okay.
Yeah, so then you get a leap year and all things, all kinds of things that get confusing. But we're here where we're supposed to be, and my name is Lynn. I'm your host of Foodies on the 5th, and with us today we have Robert Speaks, and we have Jamie
Slays.
Easy. It just looks difficult. Okay. Thank you so much for your expertise in this matter, and this has been a really interesting show. We have 20 minutes to go, so we have lots more things to talk about. One of the other things I wanted to find out a little bit more on is the snow carving. Can you speak to that at all?
A little bit about the snow carving. I just seen it done. I never actually done it myself.
Okay. It's one of the things I read is that it's like we're talking about these 300-pound blocks of ice. And when you get these sculptures together with all these blocks of snow, they can be 2 to 3 tons.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot.
So one of the things I read sort of compared it to like sand casting or sand castle making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's similar to it. Just from what I've seen, just from being out there watching it, just from I'm also only seeing it in Franklin with up north.
That's where I saw it.
Yeah,
too.
That's the only time I really see it. This year we actually got there early enough to look around a little bit, and I just seen the guys. They had like water, you know, with the snow kind of put together, got certain tools kind of going around the edges with it, making certain things. It was similar to ice carving, but they actually made their stuff to form that way, where ours just come to square, we have to make it. So it was kind of interesting to watch them actually do it.
And Rob, Frankenmuth is January 27th to 29th this year, right?
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
So if you guys ever want to come out there up north, it's a beautiful place to come out and see. There's tons of people. You enjoy yourself. Every year my family come up there now, and they enjoy themselves. So.
Right. Chicken and snow. I have so many questions, and we're running out of time. Holy moly. Jamie, have you had a disaster to speak of? We talked about Roberts, but you've been lucky.
Well, as a female, I was a little apprehensive with the tools, and these guys were so patient with me my first year, teaching me how to safely handle them.
Okay.
And with my small hands, I find the safety is a bit of a struggle in competition for me. So
okay.
I'm going to keep strength training, but I've never had an accident, been injured, had a lifting incident, and everyone's always helped me. And that's why I love this community, because they've supported me and shown that, you know, I want to learn more about it.
Right.
So I always have worked really hard to try and improve, and going to continue doing so this year.
And I can tell you definitely have a passion for it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hospitality is a big passion.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay, we talked about moving the finished product. That was one of the things that I couldn't get my head around. it's like, how do you, I could see something like, maybe like the Spirit of Detroit, you know, something like that. There's a lot there. That would make an excellent ice sculpture,
yeah,
right? But there you are with these arms and hands and what have you, things that can.
Well, that one, I see myself actually not putting that ball in his hand until I actually got there with it.
Okay.
The arms would be there.
Okay.
We'll probably have to just get a flatbed truck, tie it down, and his arms will be still standing out there when we get there. When we set it up, we'll actually put the little fine finished details on there, the ball in his hand and whatever is supposed to be there. So,
right.
So we'll keep it separated until we get there.
I appreciate the fact that, you know, with different styles and different sculptures, different patterns, what have you, there's going to be a time difference. But on average, how long does it take to create a sculpture? Let's say just a dining room sculpture, not a competitive.
Standard buffet piece, for me, I can probably do an hour or less, depending on
what
it is.
Okay.
How I'm feeling that day.
Okay. If you had your Wheaties.
Yeah.
For me. You
know, Wheaties, a good night rest, you know, because I could probably do an hour or less.
Okay.
For beginner students, for them to do it, it may take you a day or two. Because you haven't learned to see certain things yet. So the whole thing with ice is being patient with it and learning the proper way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people come to naturally. Some people take a little bit longer to do, but
it
will come to you, though.
Mm-hmm.
Once you learn to have a really good meal with a lot of carbs before carving, you get a lot more efficient with it, for sure.
That makes sense.
Nutrition has to come into play.
Sure it does. Yeah. Your body has to have something to work with.
Yeah.
And you have the adrenaline's pumping. I mean, you're almost done in one wrong move and oops. You know, that kind of thing can happen.
That happens a lot in competitions where chef always comes to you, look, you're doing good, you got your last hour, calm down, you don't want to knock nothing off. So, you know, and during like the last maybe 15 minutes, so during the end, I know, especially me, I'm getting antsy, like, oh my God, I'm not going to finish. And I'm seeing all the stuff I got to finish up. He's like, look, you're on good time, calm down. You don't want to knock anything off and break it, because that right there can be horrifying feeling to do.
Yeah. If you are working and an arm does fall, I don't know why I'm picking on arms today, but if an arm falls off, you mentioned you could fuse. Is that not acceptable during competition?
Yes, that's very acceptable during competition.
Yeah. You can fuse.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's actually what they kind of want you to do. The one thing is called thinking outside the block, whereas you see a 300-pound block ice, 20 by 40, and I should be able to take this ice and break it down, turn to something totally different. That's why I say, like with the Angry Bird piece, that's why we score so high, because we actually took the blocks down and changed the dimensions and broke it all the way down.
Okay.
So in competition, that's what they want you to do. They want you to be able to break all the way down. They don't want to actually tell where the blocks start from and where it ended from. They can just maybe see, oh, okay, well, this is where the block started here, but everything else is taken apart.
Okay.
They want the ice to be like a puzzle.
Okay.
So once you learn how to break down the ice in a puzzle, ice sculpture comes a lot easier for you competition-wise.
Okay.
You know, for your buffet standard pieces, it's all kind of standard blocky stuff.
Sure.
Because, you know, but competition-wise, it's basically once you learn how to break it all the way down and make this to this and that out of there, that's what the judges love to see there. They like to see how far your imagination can go.
Okay.
Right. And Lynn, in my opinion, I would say that maybe you're thinking about those arms, because truly, in our terms of artistic creativity, an arm, a hand, is one of the hardest art forms in sculpture to conceptualize.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why those falls might stick a little more.
I keep seeing things.
Yeah. These are the hardest pieces to do, because the human face has so many different dimensions to it. So I kind of try my best to stay away from humanoid pieces because if you do, the judges will grade you hard on that.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, I have one more follow-up question then, and that would be, so when you go into the competition and you say, I'm going to do an American Eagle, okay, and something bad happens and you end up doing an Angry Bird playing piece thing, game board or what have you, is that that would then be acceptable? So they don't care what your starting point is?
I mean, if it comes down to a point where you're doing American Eagle and it happens to fall apart and there's no, you can't recover, you can't fix it, it's better to put up something, a standing piece, something else you can come up with. I mean, the judges will mark you down for it. It's not what you say it was going
to
be.
That's what, I guess, but that's my question. You do have to disclose your intention at the beginning.
Yeah, like, let's say, if you say you're doing a bird, they want to look and see a bird. If you say you're doing a lizard, they want to look and see there's going to be a lizard there.
Okay.
But if something like that happens, and they still see, they know a crash, if you can put a standing piece up, I mean, that just show what, your skill of carving, that you didn't give up, that you finished, you completed something. It's not what you said it was going to be, but you did complete it. So it gets you a little brownie points there, but it, it gets you marked down in other places. But sometimes it's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. But to say, you know, doggone it and walk away, that's
that's
loser mentality.
Yeah, and especially here at Henry Ford Rice Program, Chef Lau makes sure that we learn how to do that. So if our piece ever falls on us, we know what to do, what fix it. Like, I lost my piece to my second year carving. I knew what I could recover to fix it to make a standing piece to this day, you know. So it's all about, you know, whatever falls down that you fall, you can pick up and make some still out of it.
Right.
Just like in cooking. If you screw up in the kitchen, you mess your meal up, you can't, you got to serve them something. So you got to figure out what can you do and fix it to serve something decent.
If it's safe and you can utilize it, there's no need to waste good quality food that a lot of people's work went into.
Soups, stews, casseroles,
So Isis, someone's like cooking. If you can save it, save it. If you use it, use it.
Okay.
And if not, hope that there's another competition and you can get some practice time in the meantime.
Right. How far, just distance-wise, how far has the Henry Ford Club gone for a competition?
We go all the way to Canada.
Okay. That could be 20 minutes away. We're in Canada.
We go to Coolio Canyon Winery. Coolio Canyon, that's a winery out there in Canada we go to.
Okay.
Very nice winery. I like going out there every year.
Where is it close to?
Boy.
Is it like a Toronto kind of thing? Or how many hours
it's
away?
It's probably about 2 hours away from here. It's not bad. But we have gone to Toronto before, though. I haven't went there personally myself yet. But I plan on going this year, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, we go pretty far for competitions. We've gone been to up north, Frankenmuth. We've been to Holland, Michigan.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we travel.
Michigan's great because we have more ice festivals than any other state. Because we have the Great Lakes here.
Of course.
It allows us a lot of Michigan festivals.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, there's ice competitions in, there are some in Chicago, there are some in New York, but, you know, we don't go that far because of traveling, all equipment, classes, and work. So sometimes you can't make it all, but there
September
are some schools
16th,
that do.
September 16th, we'll have the Dearborn Farmers Market coming up, though.
Yeah, that's a nice place to go out to. Anybody who's interested to learn how to carve ice, that's a good place to learn.
Okay.
Go out. And one big problem you will learn is carving around people, because you learn, you have to watch yourself and watch them at the same time, because you never know what little person may run up with you. You got a chainsaw. Yes.
Which is why we'd have barricades at the zoo while the children enjoyed the pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
It was great. It works.
Okay. So September 16th, that's a Friday. And that's the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market.
Yes, it is.
Okay, behind the Bryant Library.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of watching that time period, so I've been looking at AccuWeather and what have you, and we're looking at 75 plus. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to handle the heat when you're doing the demo out there?
Car fast.
Car fast.
That's all you can do. Sometimes car fast. We actually have... UV bag to protect from the sunlight.
Okay.
The sunlight can crack the ice. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So we just kind of protect the ice much as we can.
Okay.
Car fast.
We'll put up a tent if we have to. So UV doesn't scar our
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So. And it's in the morning.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be cloudy that day.
I'm trying to find the positive and all that. But have you done that before? Have you done the farmer's market before?
Not that particular one. Okay. I'll be hoping to be there, though. Absolutely.
Okay. When you talked about the zoo, was that wintertime or was that?
That was the 2014 school year.
Okay.
I was doing that with Chef Lau, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm just wondering, have you done anything this hot? You know, the 70s.
I carved some late season Utica.
Yeah.
Was pretty late season that day. We've had tons up. I believe it was 55 or 60 that day.
Okay.
And it the ice cuts like butter, but once it gets to be below 9 or 7 degrees, it's definitely going to involve the sparks on the chainsaw a little bit. So
yeah.
I don't mind a little bit warmer. Anything but under
20 degrees is not the best for us.
Right.
20 degrees is the perfect weather for us.
Yes.
Once we go under 20, it can get hard.
Okay.
So.
And above, just car fast, like
you said. Yeah. Car fast, actually, it's been so cold where we've been literally, we can't carve today. The ice is too brittle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, as soon as you touch the ice, it cracks.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so that can be hard to do.
And you can't control that. That can crack any place. So
can't control that. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a way
those arms.
It. Yeah, like I said, but if it's a competition, if that cold, it happens, there's other tools you can use to... That's get around
right.
it.
Okay.
So before we carve, we always bring our blocks. If we're carving outside at the school, for example, we mm-hmm. want to make sure the ambient temperature sets, so mm-hmm. we will allow the ice to temper up to whatever the outside temperature is.
Okay.
It does depend on the weather.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Do you want slower tools when it's cold?
Yeah, you got them. Somewhat you do.
Okay.
Because it's so cold, it can literally break and brittle.
Right.
When it's so cold, there's you can't even use a chainsaw.
Right.
You have to use
right.
something totally different to take
your
chainsaw.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking to get past that brittle aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we're almost out of time here, and we haven't given out any phone numbers or contact information.
Okay.
So we need to get. If somebody's interested, somebody has heard this and cannot resist, they want to get after that 16-inch chainsaw and see what they can do with it with a block of ice. Who do they contact? How do we...
You contact Chef Jeffrey Lau here mm-hmm. in the program.
Okay.
We have club meetings every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The next Wednesday in the Coleman Room, right next to the dining room at 5 o'clock. We always look for more members to come mm-hmm. out. Like I said, you don't even have to carve ice to join us. There's other stuff you can do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can assist, okay. observe. If you're in an art program and you want to get an idea of what it looks like, it may help in other studies.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right. Let's see. There is, if you can actually pick up HFC Ice Carving Club and you'll go right to the webpage and that'll give you the information.
Yeah, that'll give you
information.
A video on lifting, too, if you're apprehensive about injury.
Sure.
That's a great place to start.
Okay, very good. Jamie, you had some wrap-up information for us, too.
I would really love to talk about the kids' cooking camp that we did recently.
Right, Camp Henry.
Yeah.
And the last Foodies on the 5th was May, and Jeff Lau was here.
That's right.
And we talked about Camp Henry mm-hmm. and the cooking week and the baking week. Tell us how it went.
It went great. They held two classes. One was for baking. One was for cooking. Each of those classes, they had 20 students from middle school age. And they actually got to cover a wide variety of topics and had a lot of fun with it, I hear. They got to make some scratch-made ice cream. A lot of middle school students may not get a chance to make some homemade ice cream, so I'm sure that the campers had fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrapped up with a great international buffet, so it's really cool that Camp Henry let the school help out with that.
Right. And that was, the buffet was one of the international luncheons? Is that what they were? I'm trying to remember what they were called.
Well, it was just the culmination of the, yes. the demos that they had done for right. the culinary portion of the camp.
Right, right. Yes. Oh, that was, and one of the things we talked about back in May too was the t-shirts. And I'm fat. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it really is an arm thing today. But the Camp Henry t-shirts were chef coats that were yeah. silk screened onto white t-shirts for these Amazing. Kids.
Yeah.
And that was I did see some pictures Great. And oh my gosh, absolutely adorable.
Yeah, I hope that all those kids had a blast and really enjoyed coming out there and getting to see a little bit about what we're about, and getting to work with Chef Lau is always amazing. He's a great instructor.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Congrats to all the kids that got to be a part of that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Planning on Camp Henry next year then, I presume? Should I presume?
Yeah, should presume.
Okay.
This was the second year for it. So first year went great. Second year going right. Pretty sure we'll be a third year.
Okay, that's yeah. great. Anything else you'd like to wrap up? We have about a minute.
Yeah, I just want to say, we'll be at the Deer Performance Market Friday, September 16th. We got Welcome Back Days coming up in September 20th, 21st. If you want to find out more information and get more information about the Ice Carbon Club, we'll be out yes. here.
Okay.
Actually, our first carbon ice competition will be held here on November 12th. So if you really want to see it, come out and see us. We'll be in the parking lot, probably the north side, parking lot A. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right out front, right there.
Okay.
We got the festival's tree is coming up in November 19th. Mm-hmm. Henry Ford Village, we do that. December 11th.
Okay.
We also got the Plymouth Ice Fest we talked about earlier, which everyone should come out and see.
Yeah.
Fire and ice.
January 13th through the 15th. So, yeah, come out, see. You'll have fun. Help family. It's free to get in. Walk around the park. See ice sculptures.
Right.
See competitors compete. It's good fun. If you stay at 8 o'clock at night, get a chance to see speed chain competition, which is very fun. You get one chainsaw, one other power tool. 15 minutes carve.
And any students interested in that, Chef Lau participated in one of those and has a great video for that for anyone curious about what those are about.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He's not only participated, he's a reigning champ still.
That's the right.
Okay.
Reigning champ for three years now.
All right.
So, and also we got Zender Snowfest in the 27th or 29th, which is like a real big deal for anybody who carve ice compete. That's like major for you. So, if you want to come out and really support Henry Ford Carbon Club, we can use the support out there anytime.
Yeah. So 3 tons mm-hmm. translates into like 6,000 pounds. So that's.
Yeah.
All right.
A couple days of work.
Yeah.
A lot of planning, though, that's for sure. And the students all enjoy it. And it's a great time if you're curious and you want to learn about the club to come take some pictures of our pieces and see what we're about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome.
Wow. Thank you both so much. This has been fun. It's great to talk on a 90-degree day when we're talking about ice. That's great, too. So thank you, Robert. Thank you, Jamie. And thank you, Jeff Lau, for all of the information provided. And wow, let's keep going with this world-class ice carving club right here. Let's try this again. Okay, here we go. This is Lynn, your host of Foodies on the 5th, and we have just been talking about ice carving, the ice carving club at Henry Ford College. And I want to remind you that this is a show where the views and opinions are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.